So basically, my whole life right now is practicing the ukulele, and I'm not very good, but since that's all I'm doing, I decided that maybe I should do that on the show, because it seemed appropriate. This is Ink and Worm, and I am your host, Swan. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, awesome internet radio, variety of shows, what's your flavor? Anyways, and we're here today with giant stacks of journals, which is really amusing and really kind of beautiful and incredible. And I snagged Sarah and roped her back into doing another show.
She made me coffee and said, "You want to talk about your journals?" And I said, "Sure."
Well, I mean, okay, so as I was going through my journals, it was inevitable that Mormonism came up, and we have that similar trajectory of leaving Mormonism and leaving all those beliefs, and so I mentioned it, and then you shared a chapter of your thesis with me, and then it just kind of built from there. And also, I don't like doing shows alone. Actually, I've never done a show alone, so maybe I'd love it, but
you could.
It's possible.
It'd be your new thing, right?
Sarah is once a librarian, always a librarian, also a graduate of the MALS program at Dartmouth. She's a writer. She's also an outdoors woman, handy woman, and a great conversation partner.
A renaissance woman.
She's got a great sense of humor, likes long walks through the forest, and is
her favorite color is blue and green together.
You know, like
she's
this Pisces, this Aries. Sky, this sky, these trees. I think, yeah.
She lives in a magical kingdom.
Yeah, and she'll write poetry about you. So all this is to say, this is actually a dating ad. Just kidding.
And I'm single. My name's Swan.
Oh, I'm single, and my goal in life is to be single, but also to contradict that, my goal in life is to be in a relationship.
And have kids and settle down.
As we will see as we dive into the journals. So it is the month of June, so my experiment was to go through...
in June?
Yeah, June 7th. We are a week into June. I know. It like dawned on me the other day, and for about 5 minutes, I just had to sit there and be like, June. It's June. The year is halfway done.
Right.
God, 2017.
I measure my time in Trump days now. So
yeah.
It's like the reverse.
Is it
clock?
A countdown, yeah, or a count up?
Countdown.
Yeah. Okay. So my original plot was to play you songs and read from my journals, all from the month of June, pulling Sarah into this with little to no preparation. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Swan.
You're welcome. You're holding it, and I do want to make sure we get to it. So I would love for you to read.
Now?
No, I can go first if you prefer that.
No, I can. Well.
Now we're both holding something, so now it's rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, it's, well, paper, rock, scissors time.
Yeah.
Or lizard, scissors, Spock time.
Yeah. Oh, we're actually doing this. Yes. Okay, on the air. Ready? One, two, three, go.
One more time.
One, two, three, go. Ah, right. she beat me twice.
One. Ooh, oh, did I beat you twice?
Yeah, okay. That was two. Okay. I had it was first for commentary. It was Sarah did a rock. I did scissors. She smashed me. Second was I was paper, and then she was scissors. So you've got the head game down for that.
I got skills, right? So I'm reading from the spring 2016 Mel's journal, now known as Clematis, and published through the Mel's program at Dartmouth College.
Mel's, again, is Master's
of Arts
of and,
Arts and Liberal Studies.
Yeah. To the uninitiated.
To the uninitiated. The title of my chapter is In the Beginning. And at the top I have a quote that says, "The world is not a prison house, but a kind of spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks." And this comes from Edwin Arlington Robinson's rebuttal to Harry Thurston Peck's criticism of his collection of poems in the book The Torrent and the Night Before. And if anyone's ever read that his collection of poetry, it's pretty torrent. The night before.
It sounds obscure, but right. Also I like the quote.
Yeah. You should read him. He was a good poet. Alright. So this is me reading it. Okay.
Yeah.
First time, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To an audience of more than myself.
It's just me and Drishti.
Okay. And the cats.
And the cats are hiding under the couch.
Right. Okay. I was a child of God. Once, in a time that was simple and comforting within its complexities and constraints. The Deckers and Slades, my two namesakes, were not Sunday Mormons, but were everyday Mormons, and we bathed in the precepts of our religion from sun up to sundown. From the time I was old enough to listen to the stories told around the dinner table and sing along to the hymns during sacrament meetings, I knew who I was and the long sacred history that I represented. I was a child of God, with an ancestral heritage going back to the Kirtland Bank, the Zion's Camp, the Hans Mill Massacre, the Mormon Battalion, the Nauvoo Legion, the formation of the Relief Society, and the seemingly impossible Hole in the Rock expedition. From the age of 3 to 12 years old, I attended Sunday classes known as, in quotes, primary. Every Sunday, until I can remember, I sang along to the hymns and internalized the messages which still hum in my head, reminding me that
I am a child of God,
and he has sent me here, has given me an earthly home, with parents kind and dear.
Yeah.
I knew that pioneer children
always sang as they walked, and walked,
and that their progeny, as their progeny, I would put my shoulder to the wheel and push along, doing my duty with the heart full of song.
Yes.
Because we all have work.
Yeah.
Let no one shirk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not part of the story.
It's part of the song, though. These are Mormon hymns.
Right.
Church religious hymns.
It's hard not to get sucked back into those, right?
It is. You just start the tune, and it's like,
right.
I mean, Child of God, I haven't thought about for years. And
right, but you could
it,
right
and
off
it's
the bat.
Right there. It's just
right.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Mormons. Yeah.
In my parents' home, I read the journals of my ancestors and absorbed their convictions through these pages and the songs that their endurance created. These were the histories molded into my identity before I could speak my own name, and from them, I knew that the church was true and that the Book of Mormon was another testament of Jesus Christ here on the American continent. I knew this because I was a Mormon, and our church's founding prophet, Joseph Smith, said so. These memories of my divinity and my battle to reconcile them with my dormant lesbian desires are bound in pages of scrawled thoughts, inspirational quotes, drawings, and collaged pictures. Stacks of these journals fill multiple storage containers, and from time to time I pop the lids to run my fingers through the catalog of my history. This is a practice of meditation that allows me to enter into the pockets of truth that float between the synapses of thought and crafted faith. I use these erratic timelines to pinpoint the difficult decisions and choices that I have made and the ones made for me. This practice of record keeping is a habit that I have acquired from my ancestors, and like them, I have been keeping a record of my life since my preteens. The oldest journal I have is a brown hardbound book with lined pages. It was purchased for me at Deseret Books, the media arm of the LDS Church, and I'm handing it to Swan right now. The first entry is dated May 9th, 1992. My family had moved to the bone-dry country of Round Rock, Arizona, after living a year in Kayenta, Arizona as well. I was 10 years, 1 month, and 20 days old. I had an expressive mind and a hopeful heart.
And you're quoting Hamlet.
Am I?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That one may smile and be a villain.
Yeah.
Hamlet.
All right, so here's the quote from the journal. The wind is blowing very hard today, and I don't think a piece of steel could last. It was raining hard like golf balls, .. I had a good time today, even though my life isn't that exciting, .. And I spelled that wrong. I hope that everyone will have sweet dreams tonight, .. I wish my family good lives. I don't know why, at that point, that they needed to have good lives, but I was wishing it for them. I hope that everyone that is in the world will change from mean to nice, and that my family will learn the true meaning of love and friendship. I really hope that my dreams will come true. My life is a disaster now. I hate so much that my life will change. I know that my parents care a lot for me and wish them the best of life they ever dreamed of. I was a very morose child. Continuing. I'm not sure what inspired me to write this, but I do know that by this point in my life, I was very much depressed. I found release through writing, but the sadness remained in the recesses of my knowing. I continued to keep a journal until the age of 27. The thread of transformation, continual improvement, and perceptive observation permeated these pages. I felt that it was my sacred duty to maintain these accounts of spiritual instruction and personal trials for my inevitable offspring. Getting married and having children was not an expectation. It was
a commandment.
My role as a woman and mother someday was to be, in quotes, fruitful and multiply, in quotes, to find a husband, to get married in the temple, and to live together as a family in heaven for time and all
eternity.
And then here's another thing from the journal. When I think of the litany of laws etched forever on my psyche, like the codes of Hammurabi, the pages turn to an old photograph exposed in sepia tones. It's an image of me on a variegated royal blue afghan with an edge of white fringe. The texture of the blanket rises and falls as it spreads out across the brown, multicolored polyester carpet of the living room floor. In the scene, I am learning to lie on my belly and lift my head, practicing and perfecting a milestone that will lead me to my first attempt at crawling. I am wearing a baby blue romper, and my fingers are entwined in a near-perfect prayer. A smile broadens across my face, revealing the outlined contours of round cheekbones and plump lips. I stare with an awareness of my existence and look like the wise Yoda with my large ears pointed to the ceiling. At this moment in my life, I am not a tabula rasa. None of us are. Others have already pressed their stamps into my soft skin, writing out in crude cuneiform the person I am to be. In our two-story sandstone home, I am the youngest of seven siblings living on a dirt road dubbed, in quotes, Decker Hill, in quotes, by locals and residents. Nearly everyone on the eastern tip of County Road G is either a Decker or related to one. Within this collective hive of generations, I am not an individual, but a Decker first and a Mormon incontrovertibly. This family and this land, nestled in the canyons of the San Juan Mountains, is the epicenter of my universe, and for the first 7 years of my life, everything that I ever wanted or ever needed was there on that dusty dirt road. From the photograph, it's hard to tell who else is in the room, but I like to imagine that my immediate family is all there, enjoying a momentary reprieve, laughing in unison with all the worries and problems shuttled out to the corners of their respective corners. In this memory, I pretend the photographer is my mother, and at that moment, she is watching something with everyone else as they sprawl out on the sofas, chairs, and available floor space. With seven kids and two adults, ours is a full house. When we all gather, couches and chairs are a luxury afforded only to the adults and quickest legs. My older brothers, Kenny, Matt, and James, are fighting over the last spot on the couch. The younger sisters, Carolyn and Laurel, have already claimed a place on the coveted couch, and the boys know better than to harass them, especially with Mom and Dad in the room. "Stop that damn racket," my dad tells them. And the eldest boy, Kenny, sits as a victor with his legs outstretched to each corner of his cushion. James and Matt, the next in the family line, sulk to the floor and lie on their bellies. They arrange their faces in comical gestures as they use their elbows to prop their heads up. The TV is on. It must be later in the evening, because otherwise everyone would be out in the garden, the milking barn, or the alfalfa fields working. My childhood home is in the Mancos Valley of southwest Colorado, and for this I am grateful. When I look outside to the west across my family's fruit orchard, the sacred flat top of Mesa Verde stares back at me. The spirits of my ancestors and the ancient Puebloans before them vibrate on the wind. The world moves on, but they are not forgotten. At this moment, I am too young to appreciate the bucolic setting, but its beauty and history will wrap around my heart and its roots will grow deep. They'll keep me grounded when the earth below gives way. For now, this foundation is on sure footing. I am the youngest of seven, the daughter of Ken and Gloria, and the spiritual property of my Heavenly Father. My significance in this hierarchy is transcribed onto the lenses of the camera, as my mother's attention is drawn to her two youngest daughters. I stare straight into the camera with brown eyes gazing up. I am over a year old, and my sister Linnea next to me is barely three. She is wearing a short-sleeved shirt with the same blue color as my own outfit. No doubt it was cut from the same cloth. She has her hair done in two ponytails with white and yellow barrettes clipped on each side. Despite these measures, her blonde hair puffs out and dangles around her face. She is laughing at me and I am smiling. Her head is turned away from the camera, but I know that she is laughing because of the second photo snapped during the next moment. A dim light from the camera's flash illuminates the brown paneling on the walls, making some of it the color of a congealed honey, while leaving the rest in shadows, the color of wet red mesa clay. In the background on top of the white formica sideboard, held together with its peeling edges, our RCA sits with its pregnant screen. The photograph is too blurred to make out what is being displayed, but I want it to be Elvis in his white jumpsuit, singing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." I want it to be Elvis because he was my mother's rebellion against her father's decree to never listen to that sinful man with his swinging hips. That is a direct quote. I want it to be Elvis because I hold an unconfirmed inclination that she married my dad, not only because she loved him, but because his mutton chops and deep croner's voice reminded her of that which she should not have. He was a Jack Mormon, known infamously for his wild and worldly ways. He was a divorcee with a one-year-old son, but still she wanted him. I thank her for this rebellion. Elvis slowly delivers his tune to all of us. His voice at first is low, and it lingers in the room, accompanied by a melody quietly plucked on piano keys. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
I don't know this one.
And don't be afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. In the next stanza, the piano chords fall harder, and I look up when he reaches the crescendo of the second verse. Walk on with a hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. The choir joins in, and my mom snaps a photo. We are together as a family, at least in these tender minutes. I suspend reality in this memory because it could not be Elvis. He died 5 years before I was born, on my sister Laurel's third birthday. But maybe. This is an anniversary TV special, and the reason why we have all gathered. Why she took the photo, I can only speculate. Maybe she wanted to record this moment because I was her last child. During her pregnancy with me, she was so sick. How sick, she'll never tell me. But my dad figured that she was sick enough that as she rested from the near-death ordeal, he wandered through the hospital corridors until he found a doctor willing to give him a vasectomy. Maybe she took the picture because this was the first photo of her last baby's first smile. I positioned this photo of myself in a brown leather book with unlined pages on the front cover. I taped an illustration of the ubiquitous mountains of Colorado, along with cutout letters from a magazine that read, "This is the place." Hmm. On the back cover, I attached a black and white photograph of two men in a yellow lab running buck naked into a lake. Their shining white butt cheeks and straw hats stand out against the shadows. The dates from this journal range from 1/25/2005 to 3/31/2005. In this short amount of time, I have filled 140 pages. On top of this grainy magazine image, I added a cutout quote by Henry Miller that reads, "It's good to be just plain happy. It's a little better to know that you're happy. But to understand that you're happy and to know why and how and still be happy in the being and the knowing, well, that is beyond happiness. That is bliss." End quote. At this point in my life, I already came to terms with the inescapable reality that I was a lesbian. This awakening was not joyous, and like most members of a conservative religious culture, it manifested into a reformation from the foundations of my faith. At its arrival, too many confirmations of attraction had occurred for me to ignore their origin and validity. It is an uncomfortable acceptance, but one that I am willing to work through. At 22, my future depended on me, and I wanted to have one with meaning and truth driving it. With this aim in mind, I began to re-record my history. I use this image of me to step back to a time when I could pinpoint no corruption. How could it be that I was born this way? I trace the outline of that smile as a child I was, looks back at me. I follow her gaze past the hand-plastered ceiling and slick aluminum roofing of our sandstone home in Mancos, where it beckons me up to the night sky, and I get lost in the possibilities of the stars. The journals close, and the journal closes, and the soft focus frame exits from this moment in time when I'm all smiles, innocent and wide-eyed. I was a baby with eyes that looked up, smiled, and wondered. In this captured second, I am able to look back at me. We lock eyes, and in the flecks of light, I see my beginning and my undoing. I was a child of God then. The end.
Or the beginning.
Ha ha ha.
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're so funny.
It's not funny. So, I am going to skim through the good bits.
Ooh, good bits. You know what I'm going to do while you do that is I'm going to find all my June entries. Because the month
well,
of June,
we also, we're almost halfway through.
Right.
So, once again, as soon as you, like, start talking, time just flies by. But this is Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for tuning in. And I will also plug really fast, Pride Weekend is coming up this weekend. And there's so many great things happening in Brooklyn. And Radio Free Brooklyn is, of course, supporting that. And we're announcing it. So make sure you check out more information on the internet. I believe there's something happening with the Brooklyn Library, and there's a parade, and there's lots of music and food, and so make sure you look into that. If you're in Boston, you might run into Sarah. It's
or
possible.
Maybe.
It's a big maybe.
Know.
You know, life is hard to predict.
I might go. Who knows?
So the first journal I grabbed was from 2009, and let's see how long this entry is. Wow. It's long.
The good bits.
Yeah. My goodness. All right.
Too many good bits.
So, of course, I apologize to my journal for not having written for a while. And then I do, like, a catch-up thing. I say I went climbing with someone. This was after I got divorced. And I was falling in love with a naughty man. A bad
naughty
boy.
Naughty man.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yes.
And I liked
best.
That he smoked. And I liked that he drank. And I liked that he swore all the time. And probably all as a result from being Mormon and having all those things be off limits.
Wanting to be rebellious.
And then I made cookies that day, apparently. Oh, yeah, I made cookies, and I went and taught yoga, and I brought them cookies. And I used to write down the name of people from my yoga classes because I had a terrible memory for names, so it was an attempt to remember them. And still catching up from... anyways... Not writing for a while. Let's see. huh. They're talking about people who were drinking. My sister. Okay, we're gonna skip that part. My goodness, this is so silly.
You can't be in July.
So this entry is long, but the entire entry is me catching up. And I apparently had I had lunch with my sister. I took her to Kneaders, which is a chain in Utah Valley. I think just mostly Utah.
Oh, I found it.
And this is really boring. I went to Save Rock Canyon. There was some music. It was to prevent mining in Rock Canyon, which is a great place to climb. And, you know, we didn't win in the long run, but we won in the short run, which was great. And my boss was asking me about the man I was dating, and he said, he's one of those classic climbers I was telling you about, not a lot of direction in his life. And he was concerned about me dating him.
Mm. Ooh, June 2007 is a good year for me. That's good. Go ahead.
And then I was caught up, and that was my catch-up, and then an update on the divorce. I resubmitted the petition to have the 90-day waiting period waived. I don't know why they wouldn't waive it if they look at the facts, so hopefully that goes through and I can be divorced. Never thought I would say that, but so glad I don't have to be married anymore.
Nice.
End scene. So in Utah, if you're getting a divorce, even no-fault divorce, even if both parties want it, they make you wait 90 days because they want you to be sure.
That the Lord is blessing your divorce.
You want to make sure you know that you're breaking all these covenants,
and that you're going to go to hell,
and that you're ruining your life and your eternity, quite possibly.
The progeny that you haven't had yet.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you said you found a good one.
It depends. Like, so apparently I don't keep a lot of journals in the summer, maybe because I'm.
Because you're busy.
Yeah, working or whatever, and so I'm tired. But I found 3 old journals with June entries. I still have a couple to go through, but, you know.
Yeah, I think let's just switch back and forth and see how much we get through.
Okay, but I find this kind of funny, considering if we go from the old journal into the newest journals. It's pretty hilarious. You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
There's an ad that says happy and gay.
And it's for a pride festival in, I think, Rome.
This is yet another example of piss poor timing.
Right.
So you missed the parade?
I did. I couldn't go to any gay parades. This is when I came out, 2007, right? I was like,
ready.
Let's go to Europe. It's gay time.
Yeah. And, wow.
And nothing the whole time. It was so sad. So, I mean, we can go like from the very beginning and then work. I think we should work that way. That'd be funny.
All right. Okay.
So, the first journal that I ever got, right?
Yes.
Dated entry, June 15th, 1996. Utah sucked. It wasn't such of a vacation. Me and Cody fought most. Cody's my cousin. He's about a year-ish older than me. Fought most of the time. He's such a jerk. He doesn't care for anyone but himself. You do something wrong and he gets pissed and yells at you. He's an asshole.
Nice.
That's some good language for, like, what, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah. Though he was cool, but he really an asshole. He didn't stop smoking, that's for sure. He's a lying bastard. He just tells you what you want to hear. My life so boring. Laters, Sarah. Oh, that's when I was all gangster. Yeah.
Laters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then one more. So all this right. is the end of June. So So June 29th, 1996. My brother Kenny Lee Jr. got married to Jennifer Parcell. It was a great wedding. They looked so happy together. Jen's such a great person. I'm so glad they found each other. And there's a flower from the wedding in my book as well. Mm. I saved these flowers from the bouquet that Linnea caught. It was fun. Some kid named Zach caught the girdle. Kenny's friend Greg was the best man. Love always, Sarah Decker. See, me less gangster.
No more gangster. I have another.
All right, you go.
I have another long entry.
Let's hear it.
Wow.
Jeez. So many wishes. Did you ever get one of them?
I think so. Part of this is going through the artist's way, which I had currently discovered. And so this is June 7th, 2011.
Look how big it is. It's like this massive sheet of.
Yeah.
Like a tablet of Swan.
Yeah.
Swan's tablet. That's what you should.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get up early, go running, and write before work this morning, but when I woke up at 6, I thought it was too early. And then when I woke up at 7, I had a weird feeling in my stomach, so I just laid in bed while James went running with the puppy. So much guilt every time I. Sorry, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I got dressed and ta-da, here at work. Going hiking with Sarah after work, yay, I think I may visit Morgan, she was my sister, tomorrow morning and make her some yummy pancakes. I'll have to figure out when and how that will happen. Going to call her at lunch to do the artist's way. We were doing it together. I need to catch up on the tasks. I'm getting pretty far behind. I didn't meditate this morning. I would like to start doing that more. Yesterday, my long day went pretty smoothly. I'm working every day except for Wednesday this week, so that is good for my bank account, at least. I'm going to be able to pay off my credit card and line of credit, meaning I'll be under what I owe. Oh, strange and frustrating credit. I don't really know why, really, as my conversations with James have manifested. It's really just imaginary made-up money, not real. But it sure seems to have real consequences and real stress attached to it. Debt, meh. This sounds like me now. On to happier things. James and I had a good night last night. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to say that.
We shall not mention the
unmentioned. We snuggled all night and did nothing else.
Like Monty Python, like in between.
I was talking about getting a treatment. James says it's all nonsense. It's an ozone treatment. It's like putting oxygen in your bloodstream, supposedly, to push out impurities. It's one of those kind of hokey things that some people swear by.
Okay.
No. And then I just talked about how funny it was that I was writing at work. And gauging my ears.
What?
And I talked about I had been watching Twin Peaks for the first time,
and I
like it, and it's really interesting. It's like, except I have no idea who the killer in the movie is. I'm halfway through the series, but I like the characters, the development, the pacing. Oh my goodness! I was telling James I should devote a day to wasting time, then maybe I wouldn't waste so much time the rest of the time. He said I need to dedicate more than a day. There are just so many things I want to do. And then I'm doing some of my artist's way tasks. So week 4 apparently is describing your ideal environment. Well, this is kind of cute. Let's see, where are we on time? And then time traveling, describing myself as 80. Okay, I'll read these. This is like more interesting than like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't write. So, environment. My ideal environment is definitely country roads, long, lovely roads for walking, trails for hiking and biking, nearby water for drinking and washing, big fields for running, warm days, cool nights, a million trees and boulders for climbing and sitting by, and animals galore, kittens running everywhere, birds singing all day, puppies smiling and playing. Close enough to a city for visits to remind me how much I love living in the country. And gardens everywhere. Flowers, fruits, vegetables, shrubs, bushes, splashes of color and fragrance, overwhelming the senses. I will find an image for this later. Time travel. Time travel. Myself at 80. I will be an eclectic, fun, rambunctious, active, funny, social, and beautiful.
Yeah.
After 50, I traveled. I gained more knowledge through classes on pottery, gardening, and wood carving. I became better at climbing, yoga, and surfing. I built relationships with people I care about and who care about me. The advice I could give myself now is keep pushing. Do things that are hard, scary, or uncomfortable. Be aware, be open, cherish relationships, but let them go when it is time. Change is always okay. Embrace it. I would tell myself to keep seeking knowledge and experiences in yoga, other people and cultures, climbing, cooking, sewing, crafts, and making things. My favorite things were my garden, my family, my friends, my home, and my creations. I would encourage dreams of traveling, dreams of being different, dreams of possibilities, what I want and think about, but think it is impossible when in fact it is quite possible. And then I just have the artist's prayer, and I created a day where I was going to take myself on an artist date. Mm. And then the week, I did a couple weeks. What would I do if it weren't too crazy? Number one, be a stripper. Number two, be a nomad. Number three, be a jiu-jitsu master. Number four, get dreads. Five, take a vow of silence for a month.
I don't think
I could do this either. And then there's a proactivity to, like, what could I do to try that? So see if I can find a pole. Take a short trip alone to another country. Start taking jiu-jitsu lessons. Braid my hair.
Wait, have you done any of these?
Be silent for a day. No. I have taken silk dancing classes, and I did do a striptease class once, and okay, there was so a pole see. There.
Yeah.
I have so traveled alone. I have traveled that. Alone. I haven't consistently studied jiu-jitsu for a few years. I did for 1 year. I do fake dreads, and I've decided against dreads because of the neck issues that inevitably follow. Because you're sleeping on them, so they kink your neck. And also, dreads are really high maintenance for white people.
Right.
And it's also kind of a cultural slap to people who actually have dreads because that's how their hair is.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been silent for a day, although I still want to.
Okay, so tomorrow I'm going to challenge you.
Mm-hmm. I'm with people. I'm not working, but I'm with people that I definitely want to talk to.
No. Tell them you took a vow of silence.
So
see how they handle it.
So yeah, and then I just continue with the artist's way tasks. It is definitely more interesting journal entry, and it also is a great program. So I'm just gonna plug that. The artist's way. If you need kind of like something to refresh or jumpstart your creative self, it's a nice place to start.
Right.
And back to you, Sarah.
Back to Sarah. So, I didn't break it, did I?
You didn't break it. I'll
okay,
hold it.
You hold it. I don't want to break it.
I'm breaking.
Okay, how much time do we have? Cause...
We have 20 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because
yeah.
Right. I only have one entry. And so this is dated Saturday, June 27th, 2004. I always switched how I kept my dates and same. And so apparently my brother Matt's kids were visiting because mm-hmm. I have a drawing here that says Ned the Frog, Slade's pet. And then I have something that I wrote down that says, like a firecracker with a short fuse, kids explode with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a story about Kaylee and Cal Zoo. Oh no, we are visiting Kenny and his family. That's right. Aww. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in the front, I don't have anything dated, but I have little tidbits. The only thing that's dated is this one. So June 27th, 2004. I woke up at 1:15 a.m. in a panic. I dreamt something about a spider or some flying insect descending on me as I slept. So I jumped out of bed and quickly turned on the light. I thought it was some surreal nightmare until I noticed a quarter-shaped lump on my forehead above my right eyebrow, almost at the center of my forehead. It doesn't feel like a spider bite because there's no point origin. Yeah, I'm very scientific.
Yeah, deduction.
Right? So I must have gotten bit by something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just domed and red like a mosquito bite, comma. However, I can't find a mosquito flying around. But I did kill a small spider climbing up my wall next to my bed. It's almost 1:30 a.m. and I don't want to turn off the light. The dream scared me. I hope it is nothing serious. I have to sleep because I have work at 5 a.m. Either working at the airport or doing traffic control or both and going to college.
Mm.
It's probably a mosquito. I just wish I could find it and kill it so that I could sleep better. I was so murderous.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't hurt when I push on it, so I think I'll be fine. If not, I love my family, and I will always love Barsland! Sarah.
That's great.
Oh, there's a conversation? Aw, Laurel. Alright, Laurel's. Milking cows in the morning before he split a piece of spearmint gum with Papa. The morning was just beginning to break. Everything she thinks of milking a cow. Oh, so these are thoughts about my papa who passed away.
Hmm.
And then I wrote a poem, Kara's story. Wrote
it's not
stuff.
So lots of not poetry. Dating.
Yeah.
In this age.
Well, here's a poem. Dated. So I dated my poems at this point. It was like, because I wasn't writing so much, I thought, okay, maybe I can write a poem a day. And then it has a significance of that day.
Yeah.
Right? So... 6:04. Green Dodge truck leaving the scene, headed north, going away. Not needing a reminder, the distance tugged far at length. Not only a green truck, but Arkansas. Another jab. Oh, Barsland, oh, how I miss you. That's what that is.
Mm.
6:03:04, so the day before. Yeah. Gone. Goodbye. I'll see you. In another 2.5 months, so much living a life outside myself, looking in, I hate everything. Antiques, breakable and unique, they shatter and die. Snow and summer dances across my TV as I stare in stagnancy. Oh, so sad, Sarah. So sad.
We might need to have a part two.
Right?
Neither of us are halfway through our pile.
Oh, no. Well, okay. I'll stop with that one. And then Gay Pride.
Gay Pride.
Okay, June 2nd. I'm in Europe, 2007. On our way to the Duomo today, a pride flag hung from a balcony, proudly displaying the flags of Italy and Florence. This is just, in comparison to Rome, I'd gladly be the mistress of Florence. Less traffic and a more laid-back feel. In Rome, there is a rush to see everything, but in Florence, you step outside the train station, the Duomo and the Cattedrale di Santa Maria del Fiore, is right there to welcome you. There is no need to search among the many wonders. I want to come back to this hillside darling again when the tourists have gone home to work. And I'll let you go.
All right. This one's a little bit shorter. June 7th, 2014.
Ooh.
Another day and a half in Portland. Obviously, I do not get nearly as much writing done in this city. I have notes as there's two parenting styles, and then I have arrows... Mm-hmm. One pointing at the word look, the other pointing at the word don't look. I don't know what that means.
Those parenting styles, so
yeah. Michael Mead, let's see. I think I was looking at trying to see him. Mm-hmm. He's somebody gave me a tape by him, and I've re-listened to that tape at least 7 times.
Nice.
Or I guess it's 4 CDs.
Like all the little hearts.
I wanted to go to Japan and Southeast Asia. I still haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
I was dating a boy named Matt, and I was in Portland, and he was not. So my entry goes into, I miss Matt. I'm not ready to go back to the grind, but the grind may pay for adventures later. My boss, Kevin, reminds me of Tom Cruise, equal total ass. I got some moss balls today, and I'm excited to add a fish and a plant to them. They're the Marimo balls. I like them. I'm tired but energized. I love Zach and Mariam. That's who I moved to New York with, actually.
Aww.
I love Matt and Drishti. I'm excited about my future. When I get back in Utah, I wanted to change my name. And then I said, is it worth it? It's not worth it. It's like $400. I wanted to get a passport, buy plane tickets, and save for a trip. Because I guess I was really wanting to go to Japan and Southeast Asia. But that didn't happen then. But, you know, might happen in the future. Next, let's see, our next June is 2012.
Oh, I like how you write it.
Yeah, I've experimented with a lot of different writing styles. I would change things a lot to keep it interesting for myself. Let's see if I have an entry.
I write backwards sometimes or upside down or whatever. Cause...
So let's see.
You like underline things in different colors.
So I don't have an entry for the 7th of June, 2012. So should I go for the 6th or the 8th? I don't know. I talk about getting knocked up.
Go for the one most underlined. And, like, colorful.
Well, this is my to-do list. I would just do boxes.
Oh, okay.
So they were my daily goals, which it looks like I did everything I wanted to do that day.
Good job.
Oh my goodness, this is so weird. Okay, so I was working at this Light Touch Body Work place where I, yeah, it was a strange, I talked, oh sure, you can explore. I talked about having a good day there. I spent the night with Mason. He is very great.
Who's Mason?
He was another boyfriend they had.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Well, you know, we don't want to divulge any information, but the short answer is yes. Oh, and there's a hair from Drishti in there.
Aww.
And, I'm talking about money. Oh my goodness. I'm talking about being constipated and how I want to drink coffee.
Yeah, I think you should read this one.
Because
it's diagonal.
And that's about... all I wrote.
Oh, it's about Mason, too, so you don't have to read about it.
Yeah, so that's kind of the entries right now, as I'm talking about work, I'm talking about Mason and getting to know him and all my bodily functions.
Yum. I don't think you should read these.
What, am I talking about Mason?
Yeah. First line, that's, like, all I need to go to, and I'm like, okay, next.
Such vivid dreams.
Yeah, you say yum, like, what do you...
A quiet morning. I say yum at everything.
And then the one with Mason. That your diagonal sex romp, I think, is what it is.
Oh. Last night was weird. Oh, I guess I should not just read, because then that's boring. And then... I don't think...
Nothing.
There's nothing sexy in here. No, nothing too sexy. Let's see if we've got one for... You know, journals are a nice, like, place to process, but it's also has to be acknowledged that they're incredibly repetitive.
They are.
Because I'm reading journals and I'm being like, well, this still sounds like me now. Today. All right, May 7th, 2013. Ah, I made it. I thought I was going to be late all morning, but I made it. I was always late for work. Had a bizarre dream. I was somehow under the power of a young boy, and he had me put my foot in a fire, and I woke up with a strange mixture of panic and calm. I woke up late. I loved just lying in bed next to Drishti, procrastinating and mildly criticizing myself for not getting out of bed. And all is good. And all is good. And all will be well and good. And here we go with my day. I was at a conference for work. It had to do with a lot of mental disorders. So I took notes on that. So many notes. It's also interesting tidbit is someone raped me. And he showed up at the conference.
Oh, my God.
He was a... education consultant, and I saw him and was like, oh my god. But it was okay. You know, these things where the world gets small really quickly and you're like, oh shit. We're running out of time.
You got three more. So.
Oh, you're pushing me through it. You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we've got one here. The sixth.
Down to thoughts, maybe.
I have again one for the 6th and the 8th. This is June 2016 on the 6th. Today was interesting. I went to my BC meeting, ate breakfast, met with our group. We went to the Morningside, then to classes. After classes, I was kind of thinking about some of the things my mom talked to me about, how she mm-hmm. thinks David's hiding something and how she thought it was a girl and that she was in Idaho. So I decided to text David and ask him, and he said, there's definitely not another girl. He just got scared and bad feelings, so he left. David was my first love and we got engaged. Okay, that made me feel a little better. I was actually able to function and have fun, and I ate dinner and I went to the dance, and the dance was fun. A nice counselor named Kevin asked me to dance, and I danced with Jacob's brother. Fun stuff. I think I was like a counselor at a youth camp. So I got ready for bed, and David sent me a text saying he understood some things and asked if we could talk, and we did, and he wants to get back together, and so do I. And I called my mom after, and she said she didn't trust him and to be careful and to date other people still, and I am very confused, and I'm going to go talk to my daddy, capital D,
daddy.
As in God, about it and go to bed. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then I think this is around the time where I start, my journals are just littered, positively littered with wedding invitations.
I see some of this one as well.
Like, all right.
Here's from the 5th, if you want to do that, or you have the 8th.
5th is shorter, so we're in 2005. Today was good, church was super. I need to decide between
so Mormon. Oh my God.
Ian and Kenny, haha, and Scott engaged, arg, but 'twas good. So many boys. After I talked to the bishop, it was good, and I'm excited for our family home evening tomorrow. I'm riding in the car right now. Our family's going to Layton to eat dinner with Steve and Nancy. Shani invited her new friend, Jared. Yeah, exciting. Well, out of here. Later, bye.
Here, June 7th. This is such a Mormon journal, by the way.
Yeah? Why? My cursive?
And, like, little scriptural things and...
Yeah.
I'm sure you picked that up at Deseret Books or something.
Yeah. Indubitably somebody did. This
and,
is a...
And like the gold on the outside. It's so Mormon.
Oh, right. This is a gold entry.
Gold entry.
Gold. It's a long, so let's find the gold. I'm being a slacker again. We're not going to read that because I had my pictures taken. Went to the patriarch's house. He was ancient. His wife,
penis?
Yeah. I was sketching a penis.
Not in this one, but in the
next one.
This is
I talked about how old people are so interesting. I talk about church.
You're talking about a penis in this one.
I might be talking about a penis, but yeah. So
here we go.
A 31-year-old.
June 5th.
This okay.
Last year.
So this one's a little discombobulated. So, and we're also, we have minutes left. So we're going to, you want me to read about the penis so bad.
I don't know.
Ooh, this is last year.
No, but the penis is here.
It's back.
How many times do you want me to say that? No.
Penis is here.
Penis is up here. Right there.
Phallus.
There's your phallus.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm horny and there's no men in my life, I draw penises. So now you all know. whoops. Well, so 2007 and 2016, last year, today, apparently I was dog sitting for a dog that I really didn't like. And I was choreographing a dance for the BBC. And this was the first dance I did for them, which I think was actually also my best. And I also sketched out an idea for a book that I still hope to write for my friend Celeste. So these are my journals. We have a few minutes left. Do you want to share one more? You're finding it? Thanks for putting up with us, by the way. You know, some weeks are easy and some weeks are hard, and this was a hard week for me. It's been a hard couple months, but here we are.
So the one thing that I picked up, it's my, like, writing journal. One mm-hmm. is in India. So this is 6-11-07. I'm in Europe now. I'm in De Gruyter, right now sitting helpless on concrete, my only love.
don't know why. Yeah. So I have things written down in different languages that I was picking up from people. So do you read it? Do you want to?
Lachen ist de gut dann dus. Laughing is healthy, so go do it. Je lift.
That must be
rare in
Danish, I'm sure.
Liefst nærlis. You only live once.
Yeah.
Moet mer gufgen worden. You're only having me read these because then you don't mess it up. I do. There should be more hugging. All these things are true.
Yeah. And so I'm...
oh, shucks. You know, we're actually seconds away. Thanks for listening to Ink and Worm. I'm your host, Swan. This is my friend, Sarah.
Bye.
We're going to leave you with a word. Take it or leave it. Clematis. From Mel's
journal.
Okay.